Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Samach Dad Amud Aleph, about 6 lines down. We're just going over the end of the Gemara that we had done yesterday, which is Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Afilu Schirov, Afilu Lekito, Noteni Uvro Vdeo. The Nachri, if we need to rent from him, if we need to get access to his property in order to make an Eruv, then we can use people as proxies for the Nachri himself. It can be his Lekito, it can be someone who works for him just during the harvest season, it could be someone Schiro, someone that is hired for him all year round, especially if they're Jewish, it's helpful. Then we can rent from them. But it could be his children, it could be his wife. Anybody can act as a proxy for the rental over here. So we've seen before, this is a schirut ri'ua. This is more of a symbolic type of schirut in order to burden the people with having to do this to prevent them from living in such situations. Amar lo Abayi of Yosef, hayu sham chamisha schiro v'chamisha likto. If this Nachuri actually hires 5 Jews to work with him and they live in his house, then, mahu, what's the din? Over there, because they become proxies for the Nachrid, we look at them as separate entities, and then all of them would have to give in to the Eruv. If we want to make an Eruv in this area, we have other Jews in this Nachri, those Schirim and Lekitim would have to actually contribute, each one of them individually, to the Eruv. Or do we say that the Nachri is the real owner here, and we only need one contribution, and any one of them can act on his behalf to make that contribution, or to be maskir, the property, to the Eruv? The din of Schirov L'Kito as acting as a proxy for the Nachri is a Kula in Eruvin, as we always say, that here we're in Safek Divrayim, we're dealing with things that are Dirabonan, and on top of that we have a principle by Eruv, we always go to Hakel, and this principle of Schirov L'Kito is just that these people can act as a proxy for the Nachri as a Kula. We're not going to make it then a Chumra, and say that each one of them then becomes a separate entity, and they all have to put into the Eruv. Gufa, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Afilu Schiro, Afilu Lekito, Noteni Eruvo V'Doyo. Amar Rav Nachman, Kama Malya Hashmaito. How wonderful is this memra that Shmuel said? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. We have another memra from Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, which is Shatar Revi'at Yayin Al Yoreh. Person who drinks a Revi'at Alug of wine should not be involved in Psak Alocha, should not be involved in Hachra'ah, or in Beit Din. Amar Rav Nachman lo Ma'aliyah Hashmaito. That memra, I'm not so fond of that memra of Shmuel, because, Daha Ana, Koma Dolo Shtina, Revi'ata Dechamra, before I drink a Revi'at Log of wine, Lotzila Datai, I don't have a clear head, I can't think clearly. So I need to drink a Revi'at Diyan just to get to the point where I can give Psak Alocha, and by that time, I'm already at the point where, according to Amar Yehuda and Shmuel, it wouldn't be ra'uy to give psak halacha anymore. Samalei Rova, my time, Amar Hochi. Wow, Rav Nachman, can you really speak like that? Can you really choose and pick which memorot you like and which you don't like? Amar Rav Acha Bar Chanina, my dichtiv. What is meant by the pasuk in Mishlei, v'ro'ez zonot yabed hon? The one who keeps the company of harlots, yabed hon, will lose great wealth or loses his substance. And the Gemara darshans on that pasuk, kol omer shmua zu na'ah v'zu einu na'ah. Anybody who says that this memra is nice and I like it, and this memra I don't like, ma'beid ho nashel Torah, ruins the wealth of Torah. The Torah is not about choosing and picking what we like. Torah gives us the halachot and we follow them. It's a package deal. And we have to take everything. And there is no choosing and picking. That's very common. That was part of the movement, the late 19th century, early 20th century, trying to modernize the laws of the Torah in allowing people to pick and choose what they like or changing the halachot themselves. And even, unfortunately today, with even within the Orthodox world, there's this idea that certain halachot we don't have to worry about, we don't think about them, we don't keep them. But that's not the case. The case is that halacha comes as a package, the Torah comes as a package, and we have these memorot from Amar Yehuda and Shmuel, they're all good. No, you can't pick and say, oh, this one's really nice, this one's not nice, because then you undermine the authority of the Torah and the authority of the Mesorah. And as Rashi points out over here, number one is the word zonot is spelled malei, vav, vav, in this case, which is unusual in the Torah. And that's why the Gemara darshans it, and they darshan as a notrikon, as an acronym for zuna, that this is nice or this is not nice. And that's how they get the drush out of this pasuk. So then, Rav Nachman responds to Rav Amalei Hadribi, I take it back. You're right. You're actually right. I may not like it, but the halacha is this way, and these are the memrot, and I can't opine on the memrot as to ones I do like and I don't like. They're all good. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Shatui al yitpalel. Someone who was under the influence of alcohol should not daven. Vim titpalel. If he did daven, tfilato tfila. Then his yotze that tfila. Shikur. Someone who is intoxicated, al yitpalel, should not daven. Vim yitpalel tfilato toeva. And if he does daven, his tfila is a toeva. It's disgusting. And it actually does not count. He would have to re-daven that tfila because that tfila is not classified as a tfila that you're yotze ba. So hechi dami shatui vechi dami shikur. What is the difference between being under the influence of alcohol and being intoxicated? Yeah, the Rav Ava bar Shumni. Or the other gear says the Rabba Bar Shumni, the Rabban Ashi Bar Yirmiyah Migifti, or the other gear says Midifti. So the two of them have a Kamaftarei Mehad Dodi. They were parting ways. They had been together, now they were parting ways. Amavro Denar Yufti, on the ford or the bridge of the river Yufti. Amru, Kol Chad Minan Lema Milta Delo Shmei Lechavre. Each one of us should say over a Memra, a Locha, that the other one hasn't heard. Because by doing that, then we'll remember each other. Damar Mari Bar Rav Huna, Loipade Adam Michaviro, El Mitok Devar Halacha. You're parting from an individual, you should discuss an issue in Halacha. Shmitokach Zochro, because through that, he'll remember him. Every time that Halacha comes up, then he'll remember this individual who told him the Halacha. And it's a nice way to part from the other individual, to leave through Divrei Torah, and through something that will have a residual and a remnant with you, because the practice of the halacha will always remind you of that individual. What's the difference between being under the influence of alcohol and being intoxicated? Shatoi is someone who's under the influence of alcohol, but can still present himself before the king. He could still articulate and have cogent arguments in front of the king. That person should not daven because he's under the influence of alcohol. You have to have a certain seriousness, a certain amount of fear before you come before the king, and you should not be under the influence of alcohol. Nevertheless, but if you do daven, you are yotze. Shikor, what's a person who's intoxicated, inebriated? Kol she'enu yachol daber lifnei ha'melech. Someone who cannot properly present themselves or articulate their thoughts in front of the king. So in that case, if he davens, it's toiva, and he'll be obligated to repeat the tefillah. That tefillah will not count v'yotze, and he'll have to repeat the tefillah. In similar halachot we have in the Gemara in Brachot, with regards to someone who davens next to tzoah, excrement, if that person davens in that place, their tefillah is a toiva. And the meaning of the word tefillah toiva means that the tefillah is not good. Even though you daven fully, because it was done in the wrong location, therefore, it's a toivah, and toivah means that it doesn't count as a tefillah, and you'd have to repeat the tefillah, even though you said everything properly. It doesn't fulfill your obligation to daven in those circumstances. The Rambam invokes this principle with regards to certain things like loeg darash, cherif maaseu, which we discussed in the Gemara in Brachot. Certain things you're not allowed to do because it's like making fun of the meitim. For instance, you can't daven next to the kvarim with your tzitzis hanging out. Certain things that the Gemara calls loeg darash, cherif maaseu, the Rambam, as a rationalist, couldn't accept the fact that it had to do with the Meitim understanding. So in all those cases, the Rambam calls those areas as a makom she'ein ra'ui litpalel. These are places that are not appropriate for davening in. It's similar to tzoah, and he says the tefillah is a toivah, and you'd have to repeat the tefillah in that case. As opposed to the Raivud, who criticizes the Rambam on the spot and says that's not the reason. The reason is, like the Rosh, Herif Maseu, and it has nothing to do with tefillah toivah. You wouldn't have to repeat the tefillah. It's a mitzvah baba aveira, but you're still doing the tefillah. The tefillah is fine. Just have the problem of loeg darash. So you can see the difference in the approach of the Rambam and the Raivud in that instance about tefillah toivah by a makom sheinu ra'oi. Whether the problem is loeg darash, cherif maseu is the problem, the location itself. A Tosafot over here discusses, asks the question as to brachot. Do they have the same din as tefillah? Do brachot have the same din? Do they have a lighter din? Is it exactly the same? He's back and forth between the idea that maybe it should be the same or different, because is it unique to tefillah, to Shmona Esrei, Amidah, that has a higher standard? Or is this any time you're approaching Hashem and you're speaking to Hashem, you have this standard? But he does say that both of them have the general principles on either end of the extreme, where it's totally not good. We would agree with both of them. For instance, Shikor, everybody would agree for both Brachot and tefillah it would be problematic. For Shitui, everybody would agree that it's fine, both for brachot and for tefillah, b'diavad. On the other hand, when it comes to meiraglayim, when it comes to urine, as long as it's not in front of someone urinating, then everybody would agree both tefillah and brachot are okay. Question comes up with things like tzoah and excrement and things like that, where is it only a din in tefillah, or is it maybe also a din in brachot? So then the Gemara continues now, patach idach amar, the other halacha said by the other party that was parting over here, hamachzik b'nechzei ager, someone who takes possession of the property of a ger, Maya said, what should he do? Vitkayim biado, and that it should stay with him. Ikach v'hen sefer Torah. He should purchase with it a sefer Torah, as Rashi says over here, b'miksatam. He doesn't use all the money. He doesn't use everything that he inherited from this individual to purchase sefer Torah. But if he does a mitzvah with a portion of what he got, that mitzvah will help to be shomer and to take care of the remainder or the residual, that it also have that bracha associated with it. The idea here by the nechzei ager is that a ger who converts is ketinok shenola dami, is as if he's reborn. As if he has no relatives. So if he passes away and there's nobody to inherit him because he has no inheritors, at least within the halacha, unless he got married afterwards or has children afterwards, then first come, first serve. Whoever takes possession of this property after he dies, the property is hefker and you can take possession of it. It's the equivalent of finding an aveda, finding some lost property. Over here, you got lucky. This person passed away, had no inheritors, and you took all of that. You got all that property. So if you get such a gift or something good like that happens, how do you ensure that the gift stays with you and that that which you use the monies for will be successful? Gemara says, allocate a portion of it to doing a mitzvah, for instance, like buying a Sefer Torah. Amar Rav Sheshet, Rav Sheshet says, that's not only true by Nechzei Ager, but also Baal B'Nechzei Ishto. Similar to a husband who has, from his wife's estate, whether it's inheriting it, or whether it's coming as part of the dowry, he should take a portion of that monies or property that he inherits and use it towards a mitzvah, purchasing a Sefer Torah. Rav Amar Afilu Avad Iska V'Ravach. Rav says, not only in these areas where you had a mtziah, you got something that wasn't otherwise coming to you, but even in an instance where you have a business dealing, and the business dealing goes very successfully, and you make a lot of money from it, you should do the same thing. That windfall that you get from having the business go well, you should allocate a portion of it to doing a mitzvah. Rav Papa Amar Afilu Matzah Mitziah. Same is true, even if you find an aveda, you found something that was lost, then you get to keep it, you should always allocate a portion of it to tzedakah, or to doing some mitzvah, in order that it should stay with you. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Afilu Katav Behu Tefillin. Not only is purchasing of a Sefer Torah, but even doing a mitzvah like getting a new tefillin or writing tefillin, then those are all things that are positive and you're using the found, quote-unquote, money in all these instances in order to do something that is mikadei shem shemayim. And all your day, the fact that you utilize it properly, the money, the remainder of the money will then be beneficial to you. What's the pasuk that teaches us this lesson? Dichtiv, it says, Vayidar Yisrael neder. This is in Sefer Bamidbar, towards the end of Sefer Bamidbar, after Aaron dies, the Gnanim attack, and they take one of the Jews captive. The Jews then say that they give a promise to Hashem, if you allow us to succeed, overcome the enemy, and return the captive, or captives back to us, then we will machrim everything that we conquer. Machrim means, well, we'll make it Kodesh, we'll make it for Hashem, and we won't keep any of it for ourselves personally. So we see then afterwards that they are successful in the battle. And their success in the battle because they dedicated their winnings, their profits, that which they conquered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in doing so, Hashem helps them to win the battle and get back the captives. Amar Rami Barava, Derech Mil V'Sheina Koshu Mafigim Et Hayayin. So Rami Barava says that when it comes to intoxication, if you want to reach sobriety, then you either walk a meal or you sleep a little bit, and that gets rid of the influence of the wine. That's only true if you eat a drink a revi'it log worth of wine. Then these suggestions work to help get you back to sobriety. But if you drink much more than that, then these won't help. If you drink much more than this, then certainly walking only wears you down more and increases the influence of the alcohol. And the wine and the sleep will make him even more inebriated. V'derech mil mefiga yayin. Is it really true that just walking a meal reduces the effects of the alcohol on you? V'atanyo. We have a braita with a story. Maaseh b'Rabbi Gamliel sheirochev al hachamor. He was riding on a donkey. V'aya malech me'ako l'ksiv. He was traveling from Ako to ksiv. V'aya Rabbi Elai malech acharav. Rabbi Elai was with him, going with him. Matzah gluskin b'derech. As he's riding along, he sees so a loaf of bread, some sort of dessert or fancy baked item on the ground. Pick it up. Don't leave it there. Pick it up. Afterwards, they bumped into a non-Jew who joined their party in walking. Amarlo Mavgai, his name, meaning he was calling his name Mavgai, Tul Glustin Alalu Meilai. He says to Rabbi Elai, give to Mavgai, or takes Mavgai to take from Rabbi Elai this gluskin that they had found earlier. Nitfalo Rabbi Elai. Rabbi Elai, who's walking with Rabbi Gamliel, ends up talking to this non-Jew. Amarlo Meichanata. He says, where are you from? Amarlo Meayarot Shel Borganim. I'm from a city of huts. We bumped into these huts before. Uma Shemecha. What is your name? Mavgai Shmeini. My name is Mavgai. Pum Hi Akircha Rabbi Gamliel Meolam. Have you ever met Rabbi Gamliel before? Amarlo Laf. Says no. Ba'oto Shah Lamanu. From that moment we learned, Shikivin Rabbi Gamliel Beruach HaKodesh. That Rabbi Gamliel, through Ruach HaKodesh, knew who this individual was or what his name was, because he had never met him before, and he called him Avgai. Even though Tosafot points out that that was a popular name at the time, nevertheless, there's no reason for him to believe that that was his name, and the fact that he called him that, and it was the right name, the Gemara says it was done on Yidei Ruach HaKodesh. Shlosha Dvarim Lamadnu Boto Shah, and from this incident, we learned three things. One is, Lamadnu She'en Mavirin Al-Ochlim, you cannot pass by food that is on the ground, you have to pick it up and take care of it. You can't just leave it there. Number two is, V'lamanu sholchim acharei rov ovrei drachim. When it comes to items that you find on the way, then we assume that this item fell from the rov. And the rov means people who would be traveling on this road. This road is used both by Jews and non-Jews, and the majority of the travelers on this way are going to be non-Jews. And therefore, the reason that he did not allow Rabbi Eli to eat it, or they did not eat it, because they assumed it was pat nachri. It was bread from the nachri, and that's why he didn't eat it. He just told them to hold on to it. And the last thing that we learned, v'lamanu shechemtso shel nachri achar ha-pesach mutar ba'ana. Chametz of a nachri that has been owned or was around during Pesach, you can use, you can utilize it afterwards, you can get hanoah from it afterwards. There's no restriction on that chametz. Because over here, Rabbi Gamliel didn't worry about the fact that the bread might have been baked on Pesach or had existed on Pesach, and he picked it up, and he got hanoah from it by giving it to this non-Jew. So he got benefit, tovat hanah, the ability to give it to someone or choose who he gave it to. That tovat hanah he was willing to accept and didn't worry about the issue of Pesach at all. And we're assuming it's sometime after Pesach because he's traveling. And during the rainy season, it was very difficult to travel in Eretz Yisrael. The fact that he's traveling already indicates that it's probably in the springtime or going in towards the summertime after Pesach. In addition, Tosafot asks over here that we have a principle that the Gemara brings up in Avodah Zarah, which is that Rabbi Yehuda has a din that lo tichaneim iser min haTorah shelo titen lehem matnat chinam. You're not allowed to give free gifts to the non-Jew. The Gemara there has an exception for Makiro if he knows him. If he knows him, then the giving of the gift is not just a gift for free. It has strings attached to it. Just like you give a gift to anybody you know, there is an expectation of quid pro quo that he also treats you in the same way on the other side. And therefore, I wouldn't call it literally a bribe, but the gift is not simply a gift without any benefits. You will benefit from it, and therefore it's not called a free gift. But over here, we know for sure that Rabbi Gamliel did not know this individual, because that's the whole part of the story, why he had Ruach HaKodesh. So how was he able to give this free gift to the Nachri? So Tosafot gives a number of answers. One is that Rabbi Gamliel does not subscribe to that position in Avodah Zarah. He does not darshan the pasuk that way. The other possibility is because the non-Jew joined their traveling party, he then became Makiro. And once he's Makiro, he could give it to him. And the same way that we give out, when we give out Tzedakah, to the Aniyim, we give out to Aniyei Yisrael and Aniyei Nachrim because of our Darchei Shalom. So over here, you could say the same thing. It's Mipnei Darchei Shalom. If he joined the traveling party, he can gift him something without it being an issue. Kevan Shegia L'Ksiv. So now the story continues. After Rabbi Gamliel arrived in Ksiv, the destination of his travels, Ba'achad Yishael Alindro. Someone came to get Hatarat Nidarim for Rabbi Gamliel. Amar Lezeh Shimo. He's turned to the one who's with him. Who's Rabbi Eli? Whom Shatino Revi'it Yaino Yitalki? Didn't we drink a quarter lug worth of yayin ha'italki? Amar lo hein? He said, yes, we did. Im kein, yita'el acharenu ad she'afig yeinenu. He should walk behind us or travel with us until the wine wears off. Yita'el acharem gimel milim. And they traveled for 3 mil. Ad she'igil l'sumo shel tzur, until they reached the ascents of tzur. Kevin she'igil l'sumo to tzur. Once they reached the ascents of tzur, yirad rabbi gamliel min achamor. Gamliel dismounts, nitatev, he wrapped himself up, v'yashav, and he sat down, v'hitter lo nidro. And he went ahead and he was matir neder. V'habei devarim lamanu b'oto sha'a. From that incident, we learned many things. Number one, lamanu shervit yaina italki mishaker. First of all, that a quarter lug worth of yaina italki is mishaker, it's intoxicating. V'lamanu shikor al yore. Someone who's intoxicated may not give psach halacha. V'lamadnu shederach mefiga et hayayin. That traveling wears the wine off, wears the intoxication off, allows you to become sober again, because Rabbi Gamliel told them to follow him while they traveled to have the wine wear off. V'lamadnu shein mefirim derim lo rachuv, v'lo me'aleich, v'lo omeid, v'lo yoshev. And when you're matir neder, you can't do it while you're riding, not while you're walking, not while you're standing, but you have to be sitting down. You need yishuv adat. You have to have a clearer mind. You have to be focused on the issue. Tani mihat. Now, after we've completed the whole bright and all that was surrounding it, nevertheless, the bright to say shlosha milim. Rabbi Gamliel went 3 mil in order to become sober again or have the sobriety in order to pass an halacha. What did you say before? That was a meal. When I said shiny yaina italki the mishakir tvei. Yaina italki, the Italian wine, is much stronger and therefore it takes much more to become sober. The intoxication or the intoxicating properties of it are much higher. When I says v'amar Rav Nachman amar baravua lo shanu el shishata revit. That's only true by revit. Aval shata yoter mirit kol shekein derech Torah ato v'sheino mishakir ato. So wait a minute. If you say that it's more intoxicating and they drank a revit worth of this, then that means that the yayin ha'italki is the equivalent of drinking regular wine but more than revit. And we say when you add more than revit, you may not then walk it off. Because walking it at that point will cause you to be more inebriated and not sober. It says, Rachuv shiny. He was riding. By riding, it wears it down, but you're not exerting yourself, so therefore it doesn't wear you down. So it allows the alcohol to wear off without you wearing down. Hashlati the Hochi, if you already came to that point, the Rami Barn Abba Nami Lokasho, then this story is also not a question. Rachuv shiny. that riding is different. In the case that he spoke about where he says one meal, that's when you're walking on your feet. That wears it off after one meal. But Gamliel's situation is where he's riding on a donkey and therefore he had to wait three meal until it wore off. Ini. Now the Gemara wants to understand this. Do you really have to get off and sit down in order to be matir neder? V'amar Rav Nachman, mefirim nederim, ben malech, ben omeid, ben rachub. You can be matir and neder, whether you are walking, whether you're standing, or whether you are riding. It says, Tanayei, it's a machloket tanaim. The eagle mandamar putchim becharata. Some say you can open up with charata. The eagle mandamar ain't putchim becharata. And some say that you may not open up with charata. Now this is a major machloket here between Rashi and Tosafot as to how to explain this. Rashi says, putchim becharata means that you have to find a petach. That means that you have to find a reason to be matir the neder over here. You cannot be matir the neder without coming up with a reason to be matir the neder. On the other hand, ain putchim becharata means that you don't need any reason to be matir the neder. Simply the chacham can be matir neder at will. If he decides that he wants to be oker in the neder, that's his right to do so. He's empowered to do that. And he could wipe out the neder. So that's the way Rashi reads it. And he obviously believes that Rav Gamliel does not subscribe to ein putchim becharata, but rather putchim becharata. That you have to find a real reason. And since he has to find a real reason, he has to sit down to focus and concentrate. On the other hand, Rav Nachman says ein putchim becharata, that you don't need to come up with a real reason. You can be matir neder no matter what. And that's why Rav Nachman says you can do it walking, sitting, riding. That's the way Rashi learns it. Tosafot has issues with Rashi's explanation for a number of reasons. Kasha l'Rabbeinu Tam, because one of the first things is that Rav Nachman himself says explicitly in the Gemara Nidarim that Halacha is putchim becharata, that you have to be putchim becharata v'nizkakim l'elukei Yisrael. So the Gemara Nidarim says explicitly that Rav Nachman's position is the opposite of what Rashi is saying over here. And Tosafot notes that the Gemara over there, the Girsa there and in Avodah Zarah follows this. Yet, some of the people were changed the Girsa on these two Gemaras because of Rashi over here. But he says it's wrong. Rashi's explanation of the Gemara here is incorrect. And had we explained it correctly, you wouldn't have to change the Girsa on the other Gemaras. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam explains the difference. Mefresh Rabbeinu Tam, putchim becharata, hanu shesholim atoi hu mitcharet al mashinadar. Putchim becharata is a question that you pose to the person who took the vow. Do you regret taking the vow? Ein putchim becharata is that you can't just ask him, does he regret taking the vow? But you have to actually find a real reason why he shouldn't have taken the vow, something that he didn't consider at the time. Had he considered it, he would not have taken the vow. It's not a general statement of, oh, do we just let you go? But rather, it's a more specific statement of why in this particular case did he make a mistake in taking the vow. And then we would explain it this way. Putchim becharata is the position of Rav Nachman, consistent with the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Nidarim. And that means that you don't need to really think about it. If he regrets taking the neder, that's enough to be matir neder. And that's why Rav Nachman says you can do it riding, standing, walking. On the other hand, Rabbi Gamliel believes that you have to actually come up with a particular petach for this neder. You have to come up with a particular reason why he shouldn't have taken this neder. He didn't mean to take this neder. And that takes much more thought and consideration, and that's why Rav Gamliel, who believes ein putchim becharata, took the time to sit down and to focus in order to do this. Damar Rabbi Bachanam Rabbi Yochanan, my patach le Rav Gamliel ha'u gavra. How did Rav Gamliel have an opening line to this individual? He brought pasuk that says yesh buteh kemad kirot charev. There is sometimes a person who speaks and it's like daggers in the sword. V'lashon chachamim arpeh, whereas the words of the chachamim are healing. Kol ha'buteh, anybody who speaks, he deserves to be pierced by the sword. Rabbi Gamliel is suggesting, not just speaking in general, but someone who takes a neder deserves to be pierced by the sword because he doesn't know if he can keep the neder. And he may not keep the neder. It's not a good thing to take nedarim. So that's the statement about it. Then, Ella. But the thing is that Lashon Chachamim Marpeh, that the words of the Chachamim can heal, mean that if the Chachamim can find a petach l'neder, they can remove the problem of the neder and they can heal the situation. So the way Rashi reads it, it just means that he opened up and said, didn't you not want to take this nether? And he has to look for something besides the simple will to be matir the nether. He has to come up with a reason why the person regrets taking the nether. And that's what he was doing over here. According to Tosafot, Rabbi Gamliel is opening with this for the person to bring the person into a conversation to understand why he took the nether and maybe why he regretted the nether, to come up with a specific reason here to have a petach the nether. Tosafot points out that the halacha is not like Rabbi Gamliel in both of these instances. The halacha is not like Rabbi Gamliel that ein putchim becharata, but rather we are poteach becharata. And number two is that we don't use this methodology that Rabbi Gamliel used, because a person might be just too scared to answer the truth. If you tell him taking a neder is like being pierced by a sword, then the person is just going to be too scared to say, yeah, I really wanted to take the neder. He's automatically going to say, I didn't really want to take the neder, and we're not going to get the truth out of him. And so because of that, we don't open up with things or try to find a petach l'neder when something where people will not honestly answer to the questions that we're posing him. And this is too extreme or induces too much fear that the person won't answer honestly, and then you can't make a petach l'neder out of this. Then the Gemara continues, Amar vein mavrim ala ochlim. You're not allowed to pass by food. That was one of the things we learned from Rabbi Gamliel. Amar Rabbi Yochanan mishin Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Lo shanu elo b'dorot arishonim. That's only true in the earlier generations. Because she'ein benot Yisrael prutzot b'kshafim. Because then the benot Yisrael were not involved in sorcery and witchcraft. Aval b'dorot achronim. But in the later generations, she benot Yisrael prutzot b'kshafim, that they got involved in this sorcery and witchcraft, mavirin. Then you pass it by because of the dangers of picking up the food. Tana. We have a bride that explains, shlemim mavirim. When it comes to items that are whole, then you pass them by because the whole items can have this sorcery or witchcraft associated with them. Pititim, if they're crumbs or it's broken down into pieces, amarvin, then you don't pass it by because then there's no chashash of sorcery or witchcraft because it doesn't take effect on these broken items. Amar Ravash, see the Ravash, is that really true? Pititim lo abdon, they don't do witchcraft or sorcery on pititim, on broken pieces, is that really true? Vaktiv, we have a pasuk from Yechezkel that says, Vatichalelna oti elami, b'shalei she'orim upetutei lechem, that they profaned me amongst my nation, shalei, with handfuls of sorim of barley, upetutei lechem, and the crumbs of the bread. And over there it's describing how the women, by doing their sorcery or witchcraft of the Baal, were causing a chilul Hashem, profaning Hashem amongst Bnei Israel. And over here in the pasuk it says tutei lechem, pieces of bread. So it sounds like that sorcery witchcraft does take effect on it. It says no, the shakli b'agrayu. Tutei lechem was not the object upon which they were doing the sorcery witchcraft. It was the payment for their services. It was the remuneration for that which they did. They were performing the sorcery witchcraft on other things, but these items themselves were not the items they performed the witchcraft on. And therefore, the halacha would be that ein mavrim ala ochlim is only true by whole items. It's not true by items that are broken into pieces where there's no chashash anymore of sorcery or witchcraft. Okay, we'll stop over here.